This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirau Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, Ogeta, to our Solomon Island listeners, and welcome to everyone listening to Neat and Footy Fridays. Whether it's your first time or you're a regular, this is your Pacifica preview for the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me is the two Papa Bear himself, Tinirau Arona. I got it wrong again, didn't I?
Yes, you did. It's the two Papa Panther.
I don't know. Anyway, I'll eventually get it right. So sorry to all
we'll
the two
there,
Papa.
We'll get there. But kia ora to you listening here on Nation Footy. Today, we will be catching up with Totai Kefu and talk all things rugby union, plus it's culture round in Super Rugby.
It is culture round, yes it is.
You didn't tell me that one?
Yeah, you know now. We both know now. I already knew that.
What's so special about culture round in Super Rugby?
I guess we celebrate the Pacific a lot as well, but obviously there's other nations involved, different backgrounds for each player. So you will see all the players, when their names are on the team sheets, you'll see all the little flags next to their names, and each clubs will celebrate in their own way all the different cultures within their clubs. So I think it's another good thing for rugby in terms of celebrating everything that's off the field and what we love about the game.
It's like our multicultural round in the NRL, is it?
I think you stole it from Rugby Union.
We had a first multicultural round, and then now you're
we did it ages ago.
Round. Anyways, another great episode with Sala Tongatuki, because we are reporting live from the New South Wales Origin camp, where she has been selected for the women's women's New South Wales team, who are playing next Thursday against Queensland in the first game of the State of Origin Women's Series.
Yeah, we're lucky to have her straight from camp. She'll be live in camp, so we're good to get the insights from her.
Hi, my name is Faitala Moleka, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Faitala Moleka, she made the Wallaroos squad as well. She'll come off the bench, but we'll go into that with the news. But it's another jam-packed show from Monday. Fair bit happening. We've had some results last night and some massive, massive signings or potential signings.
Reported signings.
But huge news in the NRL. There's always big news in NRL and nothing happening in the rugby union world. But talk to me, T.
Last night we will start with the Dolphins beating the Sea Eagles 30-24. I was just a bit confused there because I watched that game and it was in Brisbane. I was like, Dolphins versus Eagles, not realizing that that's also the Dolphins' other home field. They won this game 30-24. It was actually a pretty entertaining game. A lot of attack. There was a few intercepts that were in this game as well, but very close when it comes to team stats. Like, we've got 179 runs for both teams. Both teams had 9 offloads. Both teams had 4 line breaks. So there wasn't much that would break these two teams apart. There was a small passage of play or a small period in this game where the Dolphins scored 3 tries just before halftime from that 30th to 40th minute. Now, we mentioned, was it last week where we spoke about finishing the first and second halves
strong.
And just getting that, either going into the break with momentum or finishing the game strong. Now, you look here, they scored 3 tries in that 10-minute break, in that 10 minutes before halftime. We sort of got them off to a pretty comfortable, well, I wouldn't say comfortable lead, but they led into the half with momentum. A great try from Corneli Lumielu. I think your cousin Isaiah Katoa, he played a big role in this play where he gets a long ball, shows inside, hits out the back, but that small stutter when he has the ball in his hands holds that defensive line and then creates the space on the outside.
Stone has a one-out go, left-hand side of the rack, and as it doesn't from the goal line when tackled. We'll play the football to Marshall King. Passes right for Katoa, stepping up left and right. Gives the pass to Nick Arena. Great ball infield to Lemuelu. Burst through the tackle of Lodge. And Lemuelu Tolu scores a try.
Oh. Well, he's not as slow as a wet wick there, was he? What a great line run by Lemuelu.
Yes, that was Lemuelu. He's played for Tor Samoa, and that was his 50th NRL game. Now, I remember when I was playing, and they said, you're not an NRL player until you play 50 games. And I remember when I played my 50th, I was so happy because I was like, yes, I'm finally part of the crew now.
And then you got shipped off over to Wakefield.
Yeah, so. 19 games later. I said, see you later. Go make a living over in the UK. But yeah, I thought it was a close game. And Dolphins, mate, who would have thought? Top 4 team, do they have the potential to go all the way and play in that final series and shock a few other teams? Yeah, we'll see. But in some huge news over this week, David Fifita informs the Titans he won't be staying beyond this year, and it's been reported he has signed a 4-year deal at the Roosters. So what are your thoughts on this one? There was talks where he had chats out at Panthers, so it was a decision between Penrith Panthers and the Roosters. But yeah. It looks like he's chosen the Roosters, reportedly.
Yeah. Well, again, if those reports are true and it seems like it is going to happen, he will head out to Bondi. I think, you know, it causes great debate on why people sign where they want to go to, well, you know, the thoughts that go into it. Because when things are like for like, powerhouse clubs, money's pretty similar. You know, when you've had those decisions, T, or maybe we can't
we
really
never
relate.
Had those decisions.
But like, there's more that goes into your decision making than people might think. You know, when you think about, you mentioned this as well, Justin Holbrook, the old Titans coach. He's now with the Roosters. You've got no doubt that he was on the phone to David Fifita, telling him how good it is at Bondi and the environments. Then you look at the location, Penrith and Bondi.
Penrith being in the mountains or the lower mountains.
Yeah, it's a lot further from the city, whereas Bondi, you're right in the thick of it, I guess, where you're around everything. There's a lot happening.
And if you're not from Penrith, you don't quite understand the difference. Like when you walk into Sydney Roosters or you walk into Panthers, you know, there is a huge difference when it comes to that environment and that scenery as well.
Exactly. And you know this all too well. It makes sense why a lot of Penrith players are right from the juniors or from the country. They haven't really gone after big stars. When you think of all their signings that they've had, they've never really had to bring too many stars over as opposed to what the Roosters have done.
Yeah, and like, some like stars are there also early.
Like, exactly.
We look at James Fisher-Harris from a very young age before he played NRL. Sam McKendry was another one from New Zealand. And also the country boys that they get, like that pool where they go all the way out to past the mountains.
Past the mountains, Orange, Dubbo, all out there. There's
plenty of talent.
Plenty of
that
talent.
They get to choose from.
So it's a bit different. So like for David, look, congrats to him. Hopefully, you know, he makes a difference, whatever club that he goes to.
Just quickly. Guess how old he is?
23. Oh, see, close.
Imagine making that decision when hundreds of thousands of dollars is involved at the age of 24. Huge.
Yeah, wouldn't have known what that feels like.
Yeah, no, we never got the privilege to. Did you ever? No.
I reckon I had about four less zeros than that. A couple of match payments, ham cheese sandwich along the way for bonuses, but...
No, I wish him all the best, and yeah, welcome to the Roosters.
Look at the grin on his face. Have a go at him. It caused divide in his family because his brother's a big Penrith fan. So,
hey, the old fella, the old man's a big Roosters fan. And touching on that, we'll be watching the Roosters versus Warriors live on Mother's Day this Sunday,
and you can hear it on
ABC Radio Australia.
Perfect.
What do you got for us? Rugby union news.
Rugby union news. Wallaroos kick off this week. Their Pacific Four Test Series against Canada before the Waratahs versus Brumbies game in Sydney. And there is plenty of Pacifica talent selected for the Wallaroos in their match day 23. In particular, off their bench, we see Eva Kapani come off the bench. Tongan heritage, Atasi Lafua, who was outstanding in the Super W. She'll come off the bench of Samoan heritage. And Faitala Moleka will also be coming off the bench of... Tongan heritage or Samoan heritage. whatever which way you want to look at it.
You thought Tongan.
I thought Tongan, but Samoan, but she's got a little bit of Tongan in there.
And remember, you can hear that episode with Faitala Moleka.
Wherever you get your podcast. Thanks, D. But I haven't finished yet with the debuts, or potential debut. This is a big one too. Sally Fuasena of Samoan Heritage. She's had an outstanding season, and she potentially will most likely make her debut at the age of 32. So that, you talk about persistence and making sure that you want to have a career, that you want to remember, all those type of things. She could be doing that at the age of 32. So well done to her. And with the Wallaroos starting pack, one of your Cook Island sisters are over there. She's moved back from the backs into the forwards, which is Ashley Masters. So I think the Wallaroos head coach, she's had enough of seeing her play in the back line, and she moves to open side flanker, where she'll be using all those skills that she's learnt back in the four pack where she belongs. And this is probably the best Wallaroos side I've seen. I just think with the depth that they've got across the board, the standard, the skill levels, everything has improved out of sight, and especially the quality of the depth. That's been evident through the Super W this year, and I think, you know, they've got three games in a row. They've got Canada, USA, and obviously the big one against New Zealand. I reckon that game there, they'll be gearing towards it, looking for a massive, massive improvement for all the other times that they've played against the Kiwi team. So we're looking forward to that one in a few weeks' time. We've also got news, and we'll touch on it with Big Kef. He will be talking about all things Pacifica rugby, but more importantly as well, there could be four home games for Moana Pacifica taking over to the islands next year. So
is that just one island or spread across Tonga, Samoa?
It could be spread. Well, we've seen it already in Apia. We've seen it already in Tonga now. Obviously, they play in Fiji when they play against the Drua. But it'll be interesting where they take the next game. If we look at even like the Solomon Islands, they've got the facilities now over there. They've got the capacity to hold an event like this. They've got the best meat pies, tea.
I was thinking more Cook Islands, but anyway.
Well, it could go there. What's the facilities like at the Tupapa Bears?
Yeah, they got a good stadium up there, actually. Stadium. Not Tupapa, but their national stadium. It's all right, I think.
The national stadium?
Yes.
Well, we'll see where we go. Let's ask Kef if he can make a few phone calls and get that game over there, because I think it would go off as well, and he... As he'll probably go on.
I'll sort it out when I head up there to open the satellite for ABC in the Cook Islands.
Is that confirmed? Are you going?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
I'm still waiting for the boss to give me the call.
Are you listening, boss? Are you listening? Get us over there.
I think she's over in Palau at the moment.
Okay. So, we'll make sure we get onto that. but that'll be big news if Moana Pacifica do get that. We've seen the impact that it has for the Pacific nations. It will go a long way. And that's it for... Oh, sorry. No, last thing. Pone Fatamausili. He's on loan from the Melbourne Rebels to the Waratahs, and he'll make his debut from the bench this week. That's all we have in rugby union.
All right. Well, let's head over to Sala Tongatuki and catch up with her in the New South Wales Origin Camp.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Each week we are blessed with her presence, our Fetu Samoan and NRLW superstar, and reporting live from the New South Wales Origin Camp, Sala Tongatuki. Sala, thank you once again for joining us here on Nijin Footy Fridays.
Thank you for having me, T.
Congratulations on your selection. See you're in your room. Who's your roomie?
Ellie Johnson.
I reckon we need to raise the energy here. We're only like this because we knew you made the team last Friday, but we just couldn't announce it. And, but congratulations. And what was it like when you got told?
I'll try to be quick on this little story. So I had my Apple Watch on me, and I had my nephew with me and my partner, and we were just going out to get, it was on a Sunday, just going out to get food for the family after they finished church. And my nephew's playing his game, like on my phone, and I've just seen like Kylie's name pop up on my watch. But then I don't know if it was just a blur thing, but then it disappeared. And I'm thinking, it might be her calling. Like, I don't know. So I quickly, like, grabbed the phone off my nephew. I'm like, oh, give me the phone. And then I jumped in, like, to the calls, and there was a missed call from her. My nephew has a habit of just ending people's calls so he can play his game. And lucky, I called her back. So it was quite early in the day, and she called me and she said, I want you to come to training on Tuesday. And I'm just like, what? No way. And before the last trial game, she did say, whoever I call, I'll give you a call, give you a heads up. I only want the players in the team to come Tuesday. So everyone's just waiting if we're training or not. Obviously, you know you made it. So then, she told me that, and she said, I'm looking at you coming off the bench. And I'm like, whatever it takes, I guess. Just really grateful, I guess. Just took a lot to just be there, to be honest, because I was mentally struggling, just trying to turn up for myself throughout the whole 7 to 8 weeks process, training and stuff like that. But I'm just grateful, had my family then, just stuck through it, and they just said, just keep going. Well, you never know. So, yeah,
well,
me now.
Well done. Hey, hard work pays really? Off.
That is, you know, just, I guess, over the course of you coming back from your injury every Friday, we've had an update on how you're going, your mental state, your work ethic. So it must all feel pretty amazing that, excuse me, that it's all gone, it's all come to fruition on that. But, you know, when you receive the phone call, like, what's it like when you talk to your coach and they say that you're in the team, you go, oh, yeah, cool, thanks. You know, you try and play it cool, but deep down, like, inside, you're like, yes, yes. And then when you get off the phone, you start cheering, or do you like, oh, thank you, I'm so happy, or yeah. What was your tone like?
Oh, I think I gave it all on the phone, like, just my tone. I was excited. I told her, like, I'll do whatever it takes, like, whatever. Because, like, and it wasn't confirmed if I was actually coming off the bench. Because the depth of the squad is so good, like, it was hard for them to pick their bench. So they had solidified their 1-13, but it was a matter of who they wanted. And I've seen some crazy middles, like, work so hard, you know, buy into all the trainings and everything, and they've demonstrated what the coaches and the selectors have been wanting and looking for in the trials. And I really, like, I don't know, it's hard, it's a bit mean to say this for myself, but, like, I really didn't, like, put myself in the whole selection picture at all. Like, I literally wiped myself out and just said, like, oh, like, you know, I'm just going to really get some match fitness or some confidence from this for my NRLW preseason. And, yeah, I was really happy, like, just shocked in the phone call, and just told her, sweet, sweet, see you Tuesday. But when I got off the phone, my partner was there, and he was the first one I told, and he was just hugging me. Like, he was very, like, my partner's, like, low-key, like, happy, like, but he doesn't like to show it. So, and, yeah, he's, like, even, like, with the grand, sorry, this is a bit off topic, but even with the grand final for Roosters and that, like, just got play of the match, and he come, like, I could see him bursting, and he's a bit shy, and, but, like, then he told, like, I heard from his mom and all his family and my family, like, how crazy, like, happy he was, and he was just on a piss, like, just speaking about me all night, but I wasn't winning, so I was celebrating with the team, and I'm just like, that's a bit weird, because I never see that from him. And then, yeah, ever since then, I knew that he was just that, like, he's really hard, but, like, a good heart for me, so it's a good balance.
Maybe,
but,
yeah, he just doesn't want that head of yours to get any bigger, so no.
hey.
What was the reaction from your family when you told them?
Oh, I didn't really, like, tell my family, and this one was a bit of a weird one, because, like I said, I'd already put myself out of the team. So compared to all the other years that I've, you know, been playing and then got selected, they were the first ones for me to tell, but they were at church, and there was just so much going on with, like, my family and their church stuff and that, so I just felt like I didn't find a good window, like, for me to tell them. So I ended up just telling one sister, and that sister has a big mouth, so I should have reconsidered who I was telling first, so that everyone else found out through her. But then it's like everyone was waiting to hear it from me. So we went to a dinner with the family, and I thought, oh, sweet, this will be great. But it was just, like, awkward silence. Like, everyone's just, like, looking at me, like, waiting for me to tell them. And then I'm just like, oh, by the way, guys, I'm going to go I'll be playing in Brisbane. And everyone's just like, yeah, we know. We booked a bus already. Like,
oh, yes.
I was like, this is so, yeah, it was awkward. But, like, everyone was just so happy for me. My family's put a lot up with me. Like, I relocated at the end of the year last year after my injury. moved back in with my family, and my partner moved back with his mum up the coast. So I didn't really have my I became so reliant on my partner with a lot. Like if I had a niggle from footy games and that, but then my family stepped back in and did all that for me. And yeah, I'm so like super shout out to them. Like I would not be here without them. Like I'm not lying. So yeah, love my family.
When you go into camp, this is day one, probably going on to your first field session very soon. Do you still get that same feeling when you receive your kit?
Oh, yeah, massive. Like, we have a team room, and I know you boys would understand this. Like, when you go away for your games, you have a team room, like, you know, the staff, you know, they try and make it feel as if you're at home, but it's a reminder to you there to represent your state. So, yeah, like, every time because we're always gathered in our team room before we go anywhere, and there's so much, like, just quotes and stuff like that like is embedded in the New South Wales. So we just, yeah, that just constantly reminds you that, you know, you are the best of the best in New South Wales. And there is tons of and thousands of girls registered playing. And, you know, that's great. And like when we hear the numbers and that, like, cause every year it's increasing in, the participation and stuff. Like, we're just, like, we're mind-blown, and, like, yeah, I feel so humbled, like, every time, especially, and it hasn't hit me yet, like, because this will be our first session, so I feel like after that we'll get a good, like, a taste that, like, we know that we're here, like, we're going to war next week. So, yeah, I, like, with the uniform and stuff like that, 100%, like, I didn't realise how much the uniforms cost and stuff, and I was one of the girls that yelled it out when we got the kit, and I'm just like, bloody hell, like, I could have went and sold it, and I joke. I feel like, obviously, we know our family takes our kids.
Exactly.
But, no, it's a really cool feeling.
Well, I'm a size extra large.
I was going to say, that always happens, eh?
It's actually extra large, not lying. for real, if I take it off.
You always tell the gear person, I know I play in an extra large jersey, but I need a 4XL. You know, a couple of 4XL. Yeah, now, yeah. Why? My dad or my uncle, someone.
And I will be up there in Brisbane this weekend or next weekend for the Magic Weekend, and also come and watch you girls. So, yeah, feel free to throw us a shirt. But we'll quickly touch on both the squads, the Queensland and the New South Wales squads. We'll start with New South Wales. What are your thoughts on your squad, and who are you looking forward to playing with?
I'm very excited. It's such a really good squad, and I'm not even gonna lie, I think it says a lot, like the way we've all bonded. And before we came into camp, I think that was like a super easy thing for the coaches to not worry about, and we know that the best team that bonds off the field is a successful team. So for me, I'm probably more excited for Olivia Higgins, the starting number 9. I won my premiership with her, and she's I've always rated her as one of the best. And she's just been so unlucky. Like, I think she's won 3 premierships already. As if you don't look at someone like that, she won it back-to-back for the Newcastle Knights. And she's just so good, easy to play with. She has a really, like, creative style. She's worked so hard. She's looking fit for sure. But, yeah, she's definitely someone and she's debuting for the Blues. So,
great work.
Yeah, exciting for her. And I'm pretty sure she's, like, 29 or something like that.
That's awesome. 29.
Looking over at the Queensland squad, I know you would have a plan in place, and you'll get into the finer details as a group, but when you look at someone like Tamika Upton, you know, Freaky Meeky, she's absolutely killing it and has done so on the big stage. How do you nullify someone like her and make sure she has limited involvements in these type of big games?
She's so good. Hey, look, we're just lucky we've got a lot of Newcastle girls, and we've had a couple of them, even like the backs and that, like Sheridan Gallagher and that. We had them in the wider squad, and a lot of our trainings was purely like training as if we were actually going into like we're playing Origin. So like, yeah, we worked a lot around like our defence and that, because we kept like reminding ourselves of the way Tamika plays. Mm. And it was nice to have the Newcastle girls and that sort of give us some like insight of, I don't know, they probably like hear it from her, they learn from her, like what she looks at, like just being a mentor amongst a lot of the backs players. And it was just nice to it's like confidence, like we get from just hearing that, yeah, we'll do this and that, and if we can get fit in that, we can definitely do this for a bit longer. So, and it's hard, like she's unpredictable. You can't really dictate what she's going to do, but all we can do is just always try and present a line the most, I guess, when we're heading down there. And so I think we're just got to, yeah, like I said, just present a bloody line all the time. Leave no gaps for her to sniff like her way through, because once she does, she's gone and she's quick and you sort of just can't stop that. And especially when she pairs up with Taryn Aiken. I'm hearing that Taryn Aiken's probably at her fittest ever, even though she looked fit the last couple of seasons.
I'm really, really looking forward to this game. I think it's going to be a huge hit out, and I'm so happy that there are now three games and not two this year, so there will be a winner at the end of the season. Let's move forward. Looking at this week's round in the NRL, who are you keeping your eye on this weekend?
The Storms and Sharks game.
Great game.
Top of the ladder clash. Sharks haven't won Melbourne since 2018. And plus Storms will be without Jerome and Ryan. And the Sharks have been lucky. They've just been playing good footy. And because they're at the top, that's obviously saying a lot for them. But, yeah, I think Storms still have strength across the team. I'm more looking forward to the Sua Fatlungo player. I think this will be his third appearance for the Storms. And he'll be starting at fullback. And he hasn't played fullback since his debut last year in round 27. So crazy footwork, and he's really got speed to burn. He's just so good to watch. I don't know, last week he played, I think, centre or wing, if I'm wrong. And, yeah, he set up that cool he set up his own try, really, from the scrum. So that was just brave and just, yeah, he's electrified to watch.
There is plenty of Nijin players in both teams, plenty of talent. You've got the two back rowers for the Storm, Ali Katoa and Sean Bloor, who have been playing some great footy. They're both strong and dominant. But then on the other side, and with the Sharks, you've got that back line and Ronaldo Mulitalo, Keo Iro, Katoa?
Sione, fisherman.
The fisherman.
I reckon it's equally strong, the back five for both teams. So that'll be a really good matchup. Especially with Mulitalo, like he's always competitive in the air, and you got the wingers for Storms who are also the same.
Forgot Nelson. Big Nelson.
There's some key names there.
Actually, do you know who Royce Hunt, who joins the Sharks on the bench, and because he was absent from a calf strain, like I've always rated Royce Hunt, like I love seeing his off the back fence runs. I think it was in the Maldives, the All-Stars game, where he just...
Yeah, he really
first hit up of the game.
And speaking of Mulitalo, I saw something where it was like he brought something up, like with the player fines. Rather than it going directly back to NRL, it should be donated to, like, the Players Junior Rugby League Club or just some charity. I think that's a great initiative. Like, I'm all for that.
Is this you talking to the RLPA or Nijin?
T, aren't you a part of the RLPA?
Well, let me get back to you on that one, all right?
It's a great initiative. It's a great idea. T, do something instead of going on all your coffee dates.
You're doing,
man, all I hear is like, oh, mate, I just got to go have another coffee with all the stars, mate. You need to do the job.
Engagement, mate.
Engagement. Go do something. Well, I know you've got a bit going on today and for the next, I guess, week, so we won't hold you up too much longer, but I just want to go into, one, what you asked about, what you told us last week. Have you chosen your CSI movie or whatever, your crime scene thing before the game? And two, what does, the next 6 days look like in terms of intensity and tapering off towards the game?
I haven't found a CSI episode to watch, but I've jumped onto this fantasy. It's like a detective. It's called The Ghost Boy Detectives on Netflix, and I've been loving it. it's just ghosts, like, but they're just like, they haven't gone to the afterlife. They're just left on Earth to try and solve other mystery murders where there's like lost spirits, but they're meant to go to the afterlife as well. So,
oh man, this is a whole other segment we need.
Alrighty then. Yeah, it's a weird one, but look, I'm actually really happy for how the staff and I have put our schedule together for the next couple of days. So today will be obviously field and gym. Tomorrow will definitely be a really hard field session. And then Sunday, I believe that could be like a recovery, active recovery day. Monday, we're back training. Don't know what we're doing yet, but then Tuesday, it's a fly. We fly to Brisbane and then we do our captain's run Wednesday night. And then, yeah, game on.
And then game on.
Game on. How good.
I wish you the best. Come on and, you know, make that impact, change the game. And I know that you will smash it. So on behalf of everyone here in Nijin Footy, all the best. Go do your thing.
Thank you so much for your time. Thanks, I know you've got to get to camp, but all the best. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Recipe of the week.
Recipe of the week. I'm excited for this one. We're going off the back of last Monday around the bat theme. You know, bat soup. You look like you want to taste it.
Where's that from again?
From Palau.
From Palau.
National delicacy.
Oh, and I said you had to cook that in a special way, and you just looked at me like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, wait for Friday, mate. Wait for Friday.
Now you're like, oh, man, I better start doing my research.
Well, the prep time is 5 minutes. I don't know how long it takes to catch a bat, but
you're doing the recipe now. This is the recipe?
This is the recipe. It's bat soup.
Bat soup.
But prep time, 5 minutes, apparently. I don't know. As I said, it would probably take me longer than 5 minutes to catch a bat. Cook time, 2.5 hours. Total time, 2 hours, 35 minutes.
What are you doing in the 5 minutes to prep?
I don't know. Trying to catch the bat.
Something. Oh, that's how you prep. So it's just 5 minutes, prep the bat, and then cook it for 2.5 hours.
That's it. Well, I need one large fruit. We'll go for the ingredients. I need one large fruit
bat.
Wait,
I want to know how you prep the bat.
Relax,
first.
I'll get to it. If you give me the space, the time, I'll give it to you on a platter like my cousin, Isaiah Katoa. You like that? Little rugby league reference. One large fruit bat, whole, make sure it's washed. One large onion cut into quarters. One tablespoon of fresh ginger. Has to be fresh, T. Two lime leaves. Some carrot or other veggies to your liking. Plenty of salt. Plenty of salt to get rid of the bat taste. white pepper, plenty of that to get rid of the bat taste. Sugar. Oceans of sugar to get rid of the bat taste, and some water, and you serve. And then
how much water?
About half a cup.
A cup for soup.
Yeah, well, no, because you got lime juice, coconut milk, and light soy sauce to add in the wet mixture. And then here we go, the instructions. Add the bat to a pot and fill it with water to cover the bat. Add salt and the onions to the pot to boil. Turn the heat right down and simmer until the bat is tender and the skin comes apart that easy. It just falls off their little tiny bones. After the bat has been cooked, you take it out, you allow it to cool down so you can just gobble it all up in one go and you drink the soup. But yeah, you just want to let it simmer to make sure all the ginger, all the sugar, everything comes in. For 2.5 hours, you divide the bat soup into bowls. So I'll give you one. I would have one. We'll sit down. We'll say a prayer.
The prep time, like, so what are you doing? You just put it in the dead bat, wash it, and then wash it for 5 minutes, put it straight in.
That's it. You just
no
wash
gutting,
it.
Nothing.
Nah, you know, it just all goes in there. Just better give it a little scrub, just what like you're doing in the shower. And everything falls off in the 2.5 hours. And you say the prayer because I'm sure that you'll be praying for everything. And we eat it with rice or talo or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was looking forward to having dinner, but
there you have it. Bat soup. Go and try it.
Well, Sammy, I think let's just get over to Totai Kefu and cover the rugby union news.
The rugby union preview.
Kefu. Totai Kefu!
With Totai Kefu.
Yes, joining us every week to chat all things rugby union is World Cup winning Wallaby, Queensland Reds legend, former Ikaletahi coach, Totai Kefu. Kefs, welcome back. Let's go straight into the Moana game last week in Tonga. Mate, what did you make of that one?
Wow. What about the weather, boys? Hey, jeez. I'll tell you what, it didn't dampen the crowd. They just sat politely in the pouring rain, torrential rain. It was a great broadcast, actually. They showed some really good sub-stories leading into the game and stories about families and all that kind of stuff. And the training, actually, leading up to the game was perfect. It was beautiful days. And then the day of the game, it was torrential rain. You couldn't ask. You just couldn't ask for any more bad luck. But, look, a really entertaining game, but really crucial game for both teams. Look, great. Oh, look, Moana had scrum dominance early, I thought, and they tried to – both teams actually tried to play. Credit to both of them. They tried to play. And, look, I think Moana just some silly errors again. Their set piece fell apart. That Ratu Matavaivuki, he was outstanding. He had a hand in all Highlanders' tries in the first half. His speed and especially his agility around the park in those conditions, he was outstanding, I thought.
What about we'll touch on that, I guess, the on-field stuff, but the off-field, as you said, like the broadcast, and if you're a fan watching rugby and you've just seen the different pictures that were shown, we saw that the teams went and met the Crown Prince and Princess before the game. We saw the schools around the ground still singing songs, fans front flipping into puddles, diving on concrete. You know, did you have any feedback from anyone over there just about other stories that were happening around the grounds?
No, they did. I spoke to a good mate of mine after the game, and he said whenever an event like that comes to the islands, to the kingdom, the whole island just gets behind it. And then you could just – and I've been there a couple of times with the Kalitahi games. The whole vibe of the island just changes, and it just builds up to that one event. And there's celebrations that go on for days afterwards. But they showed some great pictures. You know, I thought Stan did a really good job. They visited Solomone Funaki's place. They told a great story there with how he was he immigrated by himself to New Zealand, and he was brought up by another family. That's quite a common story. Shone Havili did the same thing. He was adopted out and brought up by another Tongan family in New Zealand. So. It was really good to see, even though I thought the broadcast did a really good job, even though it was a Super Rugby game, the really subplots and the sub stories behind the event. It's more than these games, especially for Moana and the people of Tonga. It's more about the winning and losing. It's about the experience, and look, the local people would have enjoyed immensely that whole lead up to the game. And then getting to meet the players and celebrating with the teams after the game, I thought Stan did a really good job of showing that.
There's probably never a time I'll say that rugby union do something better than rugby league, but that weekend, you know, you're explaining the media before it and the build-up, and it seems like there was a lot of stories that were told leading into that game, and I think we can do that better in rugby league is tell the people's stories, tell the players' stories, especially leading into the All-Stars games and the Pacific Championships. But moving forward, I think there is talk of Moana taking four home games back to the islands next season. Do you think that would still be able to have that same energy, that same storytelling, with four games going back home next season potentially?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think we get caught up in this high performance and winning and losing. There's more to the game than just that. I mean, the bottom line is it's important, and there's a dollar sign there on the bottom line. But there's always a team that's got to win, and there's always got a group of people that lose. Yeah. So I think if you package the whole thing up, what does winning look like when you're not winning? And I think Stan showed it really well on their broadcast. You know, the whole experience, memories, building friendships and connections with people you haven't met. The kids that were there watching the game, they would have absolutely loved that, and that would have changed, lives, goals. You know, kids might now be thinking, wow, belief. I'd love to be a Super Rugby player.
Yeah.
What do I do to get there, you know? So I think there's more to it than just wins and losses.
What do you think? You've been in both sides of the high performance and traditional, I guess, setups with the Wallabies and being around the world. What can the big powerhouse countries take from seeing our islands on display like this? What should they take from it in terms of continuing the investment into the Pacific?
Yeah, well, I think there's massive focus on, if you look at coaching especially, there's massive focus on technical, tactical, and how you deliver. This is the right way to do it. This is, you know, this is best practice. Well, I think that's important, but there's another side to that. There's a side where, well, we've got to get the players connected. You know, we've got to get players to belong to something. And I think as coaches, that's a massive work on for a lot of coaches is, okay, how do I get – there's more to it than just technical, tactical stuff for this group. All right, let's build relationships. Let's get connected. Let's get a real purpose around what we're going to do, get really connected, move forward together. And I think those relationships are really important. And I think you can tell when you're in an environment, the vibe of a team and the energy within a team, you know, and you want that vibe to be really enjoyable, really high. And I think we've touched on this before, you know, getting coaches and staff that have a really good energy and positive impact on players is really important. Now, you don't have to be, obviously there's a level of competency, but you don't have to be the smartest bloke that knows everything. You know, coaches these days, the first thing they want to do is show you how much they know.
Yes, very true.
I can do this, we can do this, this is what I've done in the past. Well, you know, get to know where your players came from, how they grew up, what their family were like, you know, things like that is just as important.
I don't know how you're still out of a high-performance job, Kev. You know, you've hit the nail on the head. That's especially more so now than ever. That connection and sense of belonging is vital for high performance and getting results. So
throw your hat in for the South Sydney Rabbitohs role with Wayne Bennett.
Oh, you see, he would bring that energy. Kev's stories, oh, he would get them out of a hole for sure. But speaking of the on-field stuff, you touched on Moana Pacifica and what they did well and what they'll probably need to do to try and turn that around this week against the Red Hot Chiefs team. And I just want to start with, when you're going into a game, when you're up against it, the odds are against you, and you don't want to say that you're probably going to lose, but the likelihood, if they bring their A game and you don't, it's going to happen. What do you do different in preparation to sort of take that superpower away from the opposition when you're up against it?
Oh, look, it's never been in my vocabulary to tell my team, you know, we're going to lose. You've always got to give your team hope and have faith. Look, I've got a bloody good example. 2022, we came up against it was COVID, and we were playing the All Blacks, and we weren't even supposed to play the All Blacks. The Samoa refused to play the All Blacks, so World Rugby gave us the game. And we didn't want to play it, but we were supposed to play the Maoris actually. But they swapped it around. My team, as you know, my team's in overseas in Europe. So because of COVID, we couldn't get them back. So we basically picked a club team, to play against the All Blacks. And the coaches, we got around and we were looking at each other. So what are we going to do here? And, look, I think one of my strengths and the group that I've got is, you know, I'm able to tell a really good yarn and tell a really good story. So, look, we had some club players, and that was a 5-week tour. We played the All Blacks first, then we had a Rugby World Cup qualifiers against Samoa, which we both lost, and then we had our last game against the Cook Islands, and we had to win that to qualify for the next stage of the World Cup. My players had already been together for 4 weeks after that Samoan game. So the players I got, were half of them were club players. So they all had to go home because they took their 4 week leave. So they couldn't play the Cook Islands game. Me and my manager and some of the coaches were ringing around clubs to get players to play in that game against Cook Islands. And, you know, because their holiday had finished, you know, 4 weeks they took off. Anyway, before the All Blacks game, we could see a big car crash coming. We lost by 100 points in the end. I don't know if you remember that game.
Yeah, I do,
but
yep.
Our whole messaging leading up to that week was, look, there was two or three things where we could compete, and we focused on that. And I just kept reminding the boys in every meeting or every one-on-one meeting I had, and I said this to the coaches, is just let's just get the messaging right around what a bloody unbelievable experience this is. When will you guys ever get to play the All Blacks again?
Mm.
You know, 20, 30 years from now, you can tell your kids or your grandkids, mate, I played against the All Blacks. We got beat. But so that was the main messaging around the group. And, you know, there was no way I was going to tell the boys, we're going to get smashed. And there were half of them were club players. And I had a new line-out caller. You know, so some of them were labor, most of them were laborers. And they were tough, great guys. So that was the main messaging we had. And, look, we focused on two or three things that we wanted to get right. One was the set piece. And then we wanted to get first phase, really good ball. And in defence, it was simple, just make our tackles, stay connected, make our tackles. So we kept it really, really simple. We were in there for a while, but then, as you know, the scores, we didn't score any points, I think. Oh, we might have scored one try, but it was about 108-7 or something. And it was, look, you know, at the end of the day, pretty embarrassing. You could look at it that way. But, look, I was proud of the guys. They gave it their best. You know, we flushed that game pretty quickly and moved on.
Has there ever been a moment where, similar situation, where you think you're going in as the big, big underdog and you've had a speech and then they've come away with the victory and you've even been shocked yourself?
There was one game against Italy way back in, I think it might have been 2016, where I thought we were going all right, but this Italian team was pretty good and they just come off the Six Nations and did really well. We all surprised ourselves by how well we played. We had some really good players. Mate, we celebrated for weeks, mate. We celebrated like it was bloody, we won the World Cup.
No, you're right. There's a really good message in there is actually for coaches aspiring, you know, doesn't matter if you're up against it. Everything's around the messaging and the preparation for the weeks because the players will hang on every single word. And if you feel it and the way you deliver it, like it's going to go a long way towards their performance. So I love that answer, Kev. And then we're going on to the force drawer. The force and the drawer, this time the drawer have to travel over to Perth. You know, they got a great win against the Western Force in really wet conditions over in Fiji. But playing in Perth has been trouble for the drawer. And we look at it, and one of the biggest differences when Mick Byrne has talked about it is the time difference. So 8 p.m. kickoff over in Perth with a time difference. It's a midnight kickoff in Fiji. Like, how do you combat that, the time difference and managing the time during the day, especially for a team like the drawer?
You would hope that they would have got there pretty early in the week and just acclimatised, got used to the sleep patterns, hotels, food, all that kind of stuff. So by the time the game comes around, you would have thought they would have acclimatized really well. Geez, if they played like they did against the Brumbies the week before, you would think the Drew would come away with a win. I thought they were outstanding against the Brumbies. Brumbies weren't at their best, but 7 o'clock in Canberra is a bloody tough time to play. And I thought Drua did really, really well. Their set piece was outstanding. If they can mirror that performance against Perth, look, I think the top eight's decided. I don't think Drua's got a really good run home. And I think they could win probably, what, four rounds left. I think they could win three out of four of those games. I don't think tough road for Moana to get back into the top eight. Crusaders even tougher. I think the top eight is settled, but I think Drua can win this game.
Yeah, I think they can over there. Well, they need to. They'll be looking for that. But as always, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Pleasure, boys. Thanks. Hey, keep up the good work.
Shh. Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Each week, Professor Paulo will be giving us a question. And first to get it right gets a point, and we'll be keeping a score, and the loser has to shout lunch at the end of the season. The score is 3.5 to me and 4 for you, Sammy.
I'm in front on this one.
And, yeah, let's get it cracking.
Which current Tongan international player in 2012 was selected for the New South Wales Blues from reserve grade?
Sam. Michael Jennings.
You.
Mr. 300, the Tongan international, Michael Jennings.
There we go.
That was too easy.
Yes. Wait, who did he play for at club footy? Was it Windsor Wolves?
It was, Windsor Wolves or, it was Windsor.
Yes, I'm in front, so that takes me to...
Takes you to 5. I'm on 3.5. And Professor Paulo will be here next Friday because I'll be up at Magic Weekend. So I'll have to send through a question.
Oh, are you going to send through the question?
Yeah. And let's get over to our knockout tipping comp.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, this is our knockout tipping comp. We pick one team each week from the NRL and Super Rugby. And once we pick them, we can't pick them again. And I am flying. Not great in this one. Tinudo,
no, you're on 16. 11.
I'm on 11.
Me, 16, yes.
And for those who are listening for the first time, my expertise is rugby union. T's is rugby league, and my rugby union is, I think I've only got 3.
Yep, and I got my first one wrong last week.
Last week.
Didn't really want to pick them, but I just had to.
All right, well, here we go. Can I close that gap? Let's start with you, T.
Yep.
Who are you going for in rugby league?
In the rugby league, we are starting with the Brisbane Broncos to beat Parramatta Eels. I just think...
Ooh, this is a tough one.
Yeah, the Eels, not in the best of form.
Dylan Brown, co-captain this week.
And the Broncos leading into Origin, or the Origin players, all step up. Once coming closer into Origin time, so Broncos.
All right.
Well, here we go. Xavier Woolerson.
Oh, yep. Okay, fair
Brendan
enough.
Brendan Piakura.
I am going the Knights over the Tigers in Tamworth because I need to save Penrith for another round. So I feel like I need to get some. So strategically,
because
I've got no idea why, but I've just.
I know exactly why. Because Penrith play the Bulldogs and you're a Bulldogs fan, you don't want to tip against the Bulldogs.
That's very true. So I'll save that for another week. And let's go to Rugby Union, our tipping. This is tough. We've only got 2 teams left that we can choose from. We are heading to the pointy end of the season. I am going to go, my beloved, the Smokies. I said it all year. They've just been all smoke, no sizzle. The Force. So I'm going to choose the Force against the Drua. In Perth.
Against Big Kev's tip of the Drua.
Oh, yeah, he chose the Drua, didn't he?
Yes, I've got all his tips here. Drua, Chiefs, Reds, Blues, Landers, and the Brumbies. The only team that I can pick here is the Drua. Who is it? Against the Force.
Oh, you're going the Drua?
I'm going the Drua.
Oh, we go head-to-head again. This will be great. Oh, please.
So someone's coming out
Western
a winner.
Western Force, if you want to draw inspiration, look in the gym, look up at the roof. You'll see my ugly head up there somewhere, 50th cap. So draw that on that inspiration. But that's our time done for another Nation Footy Friday. See you next week. And remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nation Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers across
Mother's
the
Day.
Pacific this Sunday. Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.